Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know?
No, but that's a part of life.
And now your host, Jessica R. Bunavage. Let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about sex. Isn't it the best intro?
Let's talk about sex.
After, you know, everyone's talking about, we're done talking about the elections, the COVID. Now let's talk about sex. This is actually very important.
But the reality too, Jess, is not just like, let's talk about sex. Because sex. We're going to be talking about women who are suffering painful sex.
Yes.
Painful sex, like your husband and you are getting into it. Like painful sex because it's inside of you, the pain.
Yes.
So you're going to have a great show. I'm really looking forward.
No, really, really. I mean, this is really important. Sometimes there are things that we cannot explain. She will explain it to you. You know, even the pain that we feel at the back or headache or, you know, when you have sex, like how it affects it. Oh, my gosh. This is
the whole body.
The whole body.
But Jess, before we get into the show, how was your weekend?
Oh, my God. So good. Wait, can I show you this, Max? Look at this. This was my giveaway from Alan. Alan, thank you so much. Alan Samsar. He gave me this for my
giveaway. And it lights up.
And it's like, it's here. Look at. Like, yeah. Can you see it?
I love it.
It's like, it's a light. And then he gave me this magazine that's amazing. Vegas to LA. So good. So if you have, if you want to go, okay, after listening to our podcast show today, or from our, on our episode today, go to this craft. If you are from LA, go to this craft restaurant in LA. Amazing, amazing food. Very good for date nights, you guys. Very good. And they're
open.
It's just amazing food. And Alan, I'm sorry. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yay, Alan.
Yes. Yay. Thank you so much. When Max comes here to LA, we should all go.
But you know, Jess, the important thing is we have to support local restaurants.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, it's a tough time for a lot of restaurants and employees, a lot of people. But you know, the restaurant industry, that's the industry that when we feel shitty, that's the industry that makes us feel better because we go and eat.
No, actually, after that evening, meeting all those, you know, amazing.
You feel better.
I felt so much better. I felt so alive, so happy. I was able to get out. I mean, of course, it's a little bit too, you know, you have to have your mask and everything. But
that's okay.
You know, it's okay. It's being safe.
Listen, I have to tell you, I like the mask because some people need to have masks on their face because they're just not attractive. No, I'm kidding.
No. And you know, else, you don't have to really like put on so much
makeup
nowadays.
But you know, Jess, before we get into the show, you know, this is a new thing we're testing out. Jess and I are just going to talk for a little bit because there's so much that happens in Jess's life that you all want to know about. And so as her producer, hi everyone, this is Max and you're listening to The Polished Woman. We said, let's give them some scoop, but tell them about Brianna, your daughter. And you all know Jessica's daughter from Making a Model with Yolanda Hadid. She had a huge photo shoot and her modeling gig. Tell us about it.
She had her first modeling gig yesterday. I felt like, I was just texting actually my friend. I said, I feel like Kris Jenner. Like, you know, being the momager and just being there watching her and just amazing. Scott, our agent, he just signed up Brianna and of course, myself, moi.
I love it. Jess, I love that you signed with an agency.
Yeah.
How long have I been saying you need to sign up with an agency? And you're like, but why, love? No, because you're inspiring to women. Because listen, women think that just because they're a certain age or like a mother, they can't be a model. But you are, you know?
No, and I love this. I love this. They have the photo shoot, all ethnicities were there, and then different shapes of women. Not just, you know, not just because you're skinny, you're a model. No, I love him, this designer. His name is Tai Nguyen. Tai Nguyen, very, very good person. His designs are amazing and it's very couture. Oh, love it.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
Well, we've got to get on with the show. Your guest today is Heather Jeffcoat, and she's going to talk about women who are suffering painful sex. So, ladies, if you're listening, now's the time to get the kids out of the room.
Yes.
Because we are going to be talking about vagina and painful vagina and painful sex. And it's an adult thing to talk about. So you shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed.
And yeah. I have to mention our feminine wash coming out soon in December.
Yay!
The Polish Woman Feminine Wash. So this is perfect for our, you know, for our launch, this show.
Absolutely. But no, really, now, ladies, moms, it's the time to have the children leave the room or put your headphones on. And this is a serious conversation that, you know, sometimes women don't want to have. And Jessica is taking it on because she thinks now's the time to have the conversation. And do not be embarrassed. Do not be ashamed.
No.
And talk about it. So let's talk about sex, Jess.
Yes. Okay. Welcome to Polish Woman. Okay. Happy Monday. I have come to believe, I love this quote from Audrey Lorde. Oh my gosh. I actually just saw it today. She's amazing. She's an African-American woman. She's, I don't know if she's the first lesbian that came out, an African-American woman that came out, but love it. I have come, she's an activist as well. I have come to believe that caring for myself is not self-indulgence. Caring for myself is an act of survival. I love this. Even for adult women, talking about sex can be an awkward topic, right? For some women, this is about how they were This is about how they were raised and coming from an environment where sex was seen as taboo or even dirty, there can be a sense of shame when discussing it. I'm not, because I came from a family that talked about sex all the time. For some women, though, it's about, and I wrote a book about it. For some women, date like a girl, marry like a woman. It's there. Oh, and it's on Amazon. For some women, it's about not feeling comfortable enough with certain friends or family members to have conversations about anything they think is too personal. I don't want to hang out with people who are like that, though, or worrying that the things that they say won't be kept in confidence. Or even for women who are willing or able to openly discuss sex, there may be some limits to what it is that they want to think that they should share. It's because of this that there are women who have questions about sex that they may remain unanswered because they're not sure who to ask for and how to bring up the subject at all. That's why you have the Polish Women Show, because this is a show that you can actually ask, you know, ask about anything and open with anything. Ask, you know, ask whatever, ask a taboo, ask if you have, you know, whatever. Herpes or, embarrassed, or if you had urinary tract infection. So today, I am joined by the incredible health Heather Jeffcoat. Heather Jeffcoat, a pelvic floor therapist, owner of Femina Physical Therapy, which has 3 Los Angeles locations, and also offers telehealth services. She is also the author, here's her book, of Sex Without Pain, a Self-Treatment Guide to the Sex Life You Deserve. You see her book. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about.
Yay.
Wait, okay, before we start this, tell us about the 3 main things that that we're going to talk about today.
Well, as a pelvic floor physical therapist, the primary areas that we're dealing with in the pelvic floor are around bladder function, sexual function, and bowel function.
Oh, wow. Okay. I actually have, what is What does it mean? All of this. No, but I have a lot of questions, you know, to you about bladder thing. But you know, let's you know, can we start off? What is a pelvic floor physical therapist? I didn't even know this up until I met you. I went to your office and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's such thing.
Well, right? I do like to say that we are the best kept secret in medicine.
Yes.
Because nobody knows about us. And I think maybe not everybody needs us, but a lot of people need us. And as we go into it, like some of the stats that I will tell you will blow your mind. But, you know, in addressing those three core body functions of like sex, pee, and poop, basically. Other than that, like we are also, or we should be, good orthopedic therapists, because a lot of times you have these dysfunctions like hip issues, back issues, but you also have bladder leakage or chronic pelvic pain issues, endometriosis. So we really have to really know the whole body to be able to successfully treat the pelvic floor conditions that people come into us with.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. I have a friend actually that she was going to go. I told her to see you and she's watching. I told her to see you and I told her, you know, why are you, she goes to an OB/GYN. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that you do all the time is, of course, you don't want to have sex, right? That's the first thing. And then you're always in pain. And then you feel like when you're having sex and then in denial, and she feels like when having sex, she always has to pee. And she thinks having sex, she thinks that she's still going to pee. So she went to an OB/GYN, and the first thing that they said right away is, okay, you're going to go and have your surgery. But when I met you, you said, no. They often say you always have to go to a surgery, but that's not really the point.
So, right.
Yeah. Can you help us?
Yeah. Or they'll say medication.
Yeah,
and so it really depends. So, you know, even if they have incontinence, let's say, the first thing that any doctor should not jump to is surgery, because depending on like the severity, I mean, even if it's really like a lot of leakage, it doesn't mean that you can't get better, or at least improve enough to where you maybe don't even want to have surgery. Like maybe physical therapy doesn't get rid of it 100%, but maybe it takes care of 90% of it. And it, for you, that might be enough. But also it's only going to repair structural things. So if your muscles are still weak, a surgery will not get your muscles stronger. So that's very important to understand. And so those problems like incontinence, for example, can come back over time. Or, you know, if you're really constipated, and that could contribute to a lot of people's incontinence, a surgery to sling up your bladder or your urethra is not going to fix your incontinence issue. So sometimes these other issues need to be addressed through PT, through diet, through like multidisciplinary care.
Yeah. And people have a misconception. Ladies actually have a misconception about this. Okay. Can you like tell us the age that actually... I'm sure this is not only for older women, right?
No, and that's what women will assume. They're like, oh, so you treat little old ladies. I'm like, actually, I actually don't treat older patients, totally separate reason, because I don't take Medicare and so I can't treat them. But aside from that, most of my patients anyways are between the ages of like 20 and 50. So with incontinence, postpartum related, or painful sex. So, you know, that's like a young, healthy, sexually active population that I'm treating.
Wait, hold on. You just mentioned postpartum.
Yeah.
For all of you women out there who are actually, who just gave birth, right? What that thing that you can help about, you know, for them?
Yeah.
So what is mainly the common problem of a woman who are, you know, experiencing the postpartum?
So two of the most common postpartum conditions that I would treat, other than like, you know, orthopedic, like neck pain from breastfeeding. So if we're talking about the pelvic floor, we're talking about painful sex, which research has shown is occurring in nearly 9 out of 10 women postpartum on their first attempted intercourse. And even 18 months later, almost 25% of women are still having painful sex, even 18 months after they delivered. And a lot of times they're told, oh, once you stop breastfeeding, that'll get better. But 25% of the time, it doesn't get better. So where are those women left? And then the other major thing that we'll see postpartum is urinary incontinence. And that's another thing that OBGYNs will say, Wait until you're done breastfeeding. It'll get better, or just give it time. But that's not what research shows. Research shows that if you're still peeing your pants at 3 months, you are still peeing your pants at 7 years, right? So 7 years after you have your baby, how long are you supposed to wait? Probably 6 years after you stop breastfeeding. Like it's not related exclusively to breastfeeding and hormones. There's musculoskeletal problems, and that's what a physical therapist treats.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you mentioned, Heather, that when I went there, that it's not normal for someone to pee in between, like when you sleep, as soon as you go to sleep, you're not supposed to pee the whole night.
Yeah.
What it is.
This is where women get into issues, I think, when they're pregnant, because they have to, like they've got the baby on their bladder. So it starts to become a habit. And then after they deliver, then they're waking up and feeding, whether it's bottle feeding, breastfeeding, you know, baby's not sleeping through the night in most cases. So they're getting their bladder essentially in that habit. So then fast forward 1 year after they had their baby sleeping through the night, the woman is still waking up 1 to 3 times a night because it's just what her body is used to. It's what it's been trained to. So as a physical therapist, we can also help retrain the bladder and make sure that there's no underlying issues, like from a musculoskeletal contribution, that are making them wake and pee at night too. It's actually a medical diagnosis called nocturia. Nocturia. Oh,
nocturia.
Yeah.
Can you say it again for all of them?
Yes. Yeah. Nocturia.
What's the cure for this one?
Well, a combination of pelvic floor PT, behavioral retraining, so getting yourself on a schedule. I mean, the women that are waking a lot at night are often going frequently during the day too. So normal daytime frequency would be 5 to 8 times per day. So.
What is the normal for the whole 24 hours, the normal for the daytime?
Yes.
Yeah. How if you drink a lot of water? You know, like how they advise, you have to drink like 8 glasses of water a day and you can pee. So what is like the normal, you know, period?
So 24-hour period, we're looking at urinating 5 to 8 times per day and not at all at night. So unless you're on like a diuretic, something that like a medication that makes you pee all the time, you shouldn't have to wake at night. Now, yes, you can drink a lot of water. The easy standard is whatever your body weight is, then half of that in ounces. So let's say you weigh 120 pounds, then drink about 60 ounces a day. So that's kind of like a rough, you know, rule of thumb for most people. But if you live in a really like hot climate or you're exercising, then your demands will increase. The thing to do is look in the toilet after you pee. And it should be, as your day goes on, it should get to be like a pale yellow, a really pale yellow. If it's crystal clear when you look in the toilet, you're probably overhydrating. So you're sending yourself to the bathroom more than you really need to be sending yourself to the bathroom, just because your body can only absorb so much.
What color is what color of pee is a red flag?
Well, if you're under hydrating, it'll be really dark. And your first pee of the day is always going to be like more orangey, but it just is because, you know, presumably you haven't gone during the night. So the first pee is always like a darker orange. Then it gets like a little bit lighter, and then all the rest of your pees should be like a pale yellow.
Yeah.
So red flag, I mean,
darker.
Yeah, if it's darker as the day goes on, you're probably not hydrating enough, but you also don't want to drink it all at once. You can't go at the end of the day and say, oh my God, I didn't drink any water today. I better just like drink my 60 ounces. Like you're just going to have to pee all night if you do that. So just know our bodies can only absorb so much at a time. So you're really best to just drink like 8 or 10 ounces in a sitting.
Oh, okay. But when should a woman consider seeing you, a pelvic floor therapist? You know, like, for example, you know, like what we all know about chiropractor. We're all actually like, we're going to a chiropractor because we're hurting, or if we hurt, you know, our knee or something, we go to a therapist. But this is very interesting, you guys. I mean, you women, I mean, ladies, there is a thing such, you know, a hope. It's the pelvic floor therapist. This is just.
Yeah, it's like the best secret in medicine. Like I said, there are so many reasons that people should see us, quite honestly. Okay. And like, you know, my website has a list of all the diagnoses, but if you're talking about like bladder dysfunction, so if you have like accidental bladder leakage or urinary incontinence, if you have urgency and frequency problems, so where you're consistently going like 9, 10 16 times a day. Like, that is really life disrupting. So you should see a physical therapist for that, because a medication that you get from your doctor is only putting a Band-Aid on the problem. It's not solving your problem. So unless you want to be on medications lifelong, and sometimes the medications don't even work. You know, other thing with bladder, we see like a more severe version of bladder urgency frequency called interstitial cystitis or painful bladder syndrome. So that usually comes with like a lot of like frequent peeing, but also bladder pain, the feeling like that they always need to go. So even though they pee, 2 minutes later, they feel like they have to pee again, and they start restricting water intake, which means that urine stays dark.
Which is so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, which is so bad. And that actually just makes the problem worse, because now that urine is concentrated and that's creating an irritation to the bladder lining. So, you know, around like incontinence or bladder pain issues, those are the main ones that we can treat. Around bowel dysfunction, we can help with weakness in that area. So people that maybe have like incontinence or gas. Like, even if they just have a lot of gas, like, yes, it could be part diet, but they might have really weak pelvic floor muscles. We can also treat constipation. Again, that has a diet component, but if it's been found, there's a test that women can have called, and men too, it's called anorectal manometry. So that's what you would ask your GI doctor to do. And it can show if your muscles
are... What is that? Max is asking.
Oh, man. Yeah. So do people even want to know this? So you stick a balloon into your rectum. The doctor would do this. Okay. And they fill it up with air and they test, like, basically, are your sensitivities normal? And then later on in the exam, so like they fill it and they ask you, like, when do you feel the urge? When is it the maximum urge? Then they ask you to push it out, which is what you need to do during a bowel movement. So what it can sense is if you're actually like contracting instead of pushing out. So we can teach pelvic floor muscle coordination to get people to be able to out a balloon.
That helps with hemorrhoids, right?
Of course, because one reason women have hemorrhoids is because they strain all the time. So yes, it can indirectly help with hemorrhoids, right? We're not treating hemorrhoids, but we can treat why you have the hemorrhoids in the first place. So I know. So that would be some of the bowel stuff that we can treat. Yeah. And then the sexual dysfunction, the chronic pelvic pain, that's like 85-90% of my practice. So
wait, what is the test again? Can we repeat the test?
Oh, for the bowel?
Yeah.
Anorectal manometry.
Okay. Anal rectal
manometry.
Okay, we'll post all of it. Yeah. We'll post all of it. And yeah. For the pain, the painful sex.
I
get it. So basically, yeah. Okay, let's go back to painful pee, and then we'll go to
Oftentimes they do. So, well, a lot of women that have the painful bladder syndrome.
Yes.
A lot of the time. Research shows up to 100% of the time. So depending on research study you see, it's like 48 to 100% of the time. Okay. That if you have painful bladder, you have this painful sex condition called vulvodynia. But not everyone with vulvodynia has painful bladder. So, you know, but they can go together a lot of the time.
I have friends, they would be listening to this. They have friends that they think because they're, you know, peeing and they're painful, they're having painful bladder, or they're having a painful sex, they think that they have ovarian cancer already.
Well, that's why you would see your doctor to rule that out. And a lot of this stuff too, I think it's like the idea of maybe not advocating for your own care gets handed down like from generations. So one of the chronic pelvic pain conditions that I treat is called endometriosis. So the only way to fully treat that is to have an excision surgery, but we help with like scar tissue management, the painful sex that's often associated with endometriosis, the bladder pain that's often associated with endometriosis. So your friend may have this bladder pain, but she may have endometriosis. Endometriosis is when tissue that's similar to the lining of the uterus is found outside of the uterus. So the lining of the uterus is called the endometrium. And so it's not from the uterus that leaks out. Like, that's not what happens. Yeah. It is thought to happen. There's lots of theories, but one of the thoughts is that it happens when we are embryos, and that some of this tissue is elsewhere in our body. It goes near our rectum, it goes near our bladder, it goes on our lung, and it reacts to our cycle. So whenever we have our period, it bleeds just like when we have our cycle, but there's nowhere for it to go. So normally it can leave our body out of our uterus, but if it's not in the uterus, if it's somewhere else, this similar tissue that's responding the same way to our changes in hormone, what happens is it bleeds and then it gets inflamed and then it scars. And then next month bleeds, inflames, scars, so on and so forth, to where it can be really severe and cause these bowel, bladder, and sexual functions because you have scar tissue that's wrapped around your bowel, scar tissue around your like fallopian tubes. So endometriosis can sometimes lead to infertility. Women that have adenomyosis, which is endometriosis of the uterus, they will often have very painful periods, very heavy flow, long flow. Sometimes it's so bad they're missing days of school or work. They have nausea and vomiting associated with it. But bringing back to my point about generational, so, you know, I'll have friends and kids my daughter's age, and they'll say, well, she probably doesn't have endometriosis because I don't have endometriosis. But yet this mom will tell me that when she was younger, before she had kids even, you know, the first 15 years she menstruated, she would have missed school. Then she would miss work 1 or 2 days every month. She felt nausea, vomiting, like those are red flags for endometriosis. And, you know, it's, these girls are put on birth control pills to manage their pain, but that does not stop the cycle of endometriosis. So their pain is helped, but they still have this process going on in the background. And so, you know, there is a famous endometriosis surgeon here in LA, and I'll see some of her patients, and, you know, she'll start sending teenage girls, which I love because now they're getting some tools for self-management. I can teach them self-abdominal massage. I can teach them other techniques to help manage their orthopedic pain. So nothing internal with them, like, you know, because I do intravaginal work, intraductal work, but I don't have to. There's a lot that we can do externally as well, especially in someone that's so young that has these kinds of pain.
I want to show some of, Ronan, can we show some of the video and then Heather explain to, you know, explain to them what you, your, you know, what you did to me.
I did to you.
Can we show, what is this?
Okay, so this is a technique that I'm doing called skin rolling or connective tissue mobilization. So this is a really great technique to use with my chronic pain patients because they have the nerve endings that are, we call them peripheral nerve endings. So they're not our central nervous system, like our brain spinal cord, they're the nerves that come off of that. Those can become sensitized and can be a driver or a contributor to someone's chronic pain. So by mobilizing the tissue, we're freeing up that restriction, giving that nerve more mobility, that tissue more mobility.
Okay, let's play.
I do that muscle a lot because that muscle is facilitated by overactive or tight pelvic floor. So it's a nice external technique to do before I do anything intravaginally.
Wow. Okay, let's play the other one. Yeah, this one.
I only see half of it's loaded. As I feel the
trigger point, Oh,
I'm doing, I'm doing a trigger point release there. So I'm, the intravaginal assessment with the abdominal. So I'll use two hands a lot of times where I have one on the trigger point inside, and then I'm trying to feel tension in the abdomen from the outside as well. And then getting that pain sensation that a patient feels reduce in intensity. So this one, the technique I'm doing, it looks like I'd be treating someone that has interstitial cystitis or painful bladder syndrome. So I'm trying to reproduce her feeling of urgency and frequency, urinary urgency frequency or bladder pain. And then I'm trying to get that pain to subside.
She already knew that I would pee and pee all the time. Let's play the next one. I was going to ask you about this one. Oh, she knew already that, this is the back, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a muscle that I'm looking for on you. It's called the quadratus lumborum. And this muscle tends to be overactive in a lot of my patients that have chronic pelvic pain, especially like endometriosis. And this spot actually refers pain to a woman's lower abdomen. So it can reduce, it can reproduce their period cramping that they're experiencing. And so, you know, yes, they're having pain, that adenomyosis, but it's made worse by these trigger points that are also referring pain to the same area. So I'll teach my patients with endometriosis on internal so that they have like a toolkit. So they have a toolkit of external like wall release techniques that they're doing. They have a toolkit with intravaginal devices called dilators or wands, depending on what their problem is. And when they get this pain at whatever point in their cycle, they can use these tools to help reduce their pain. And this helps with, you know, it's a concept I use, like a general framework with everybody that has chronic pain and pelvic pain, because everybody that has chronic pain, it's already been shown that, yes, they have this peripheral pain, got the peripheral sensitization, but they also have central nervous issues. It's called central sensitization. It's how pain is processed in the brain. And people that have chronic pain do have lower thresholds to pain. Mm-hmm. That's been documented through research. And it's also been shown that they experience pain with stimuli that are not painful. So like their forearm might be more sensitive. They don't have forearm pain, but their forearm is more sensitive to stimuli than their non-chronic pain cohorts. It affects the whole body.
Things. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that's just like the chronic pain kind of stuff that we treat. I mean, you know, I also treat like tailbone pain, like everything orthopedic, hip issues, back issues. So, you know, I can treat it all, but specific to the pelvic floor, I'm doing a lot of chronic pain treatment, but education, not just education on chronic pain, because it's really important for patients to understand how it's working from their brain down, but also how these tools that they're given can help get them out of pain eventually, or at least significantly reduce their pain.
How about men? They're asking, how about for men? Do you treat men as well?
Yes, I treat men, pediatric and transgender patients as well. So, you know, we treat everybody with a pelvis at my office. So that would be everybody basically. Men can have, typically what they'll call that interstitial cystitis. In men, they'll call it prostatitis. So, but it's essentially the same condition. It's this strong urgency frequency syndrome that they have. And, but it's not due to bacteria.
Go see you.
So once infection is ruled out, we treat non-bacterial prostatitis. We also, in men, the other common things we'll see, like we might see urinary incontinence after they have prostate removal. So after prostate cancer, if they have a prostatectomy, urinary incontinence happens, I forget the percentages, but it's not uncommon for them to have urinary incontinence. But we also will treat men and women that have like hesitancy to void, like a shy bladder, like they sit and they just feel like they can't let go. So that's usually a sign of an overactive pelvic floor as well, or a non-relaxing pelvic floor. And I think a really important thing as we're talking about the pelvic floor is that like the term Kegels that we hear about a lot. And
what's that?
Okay. So Kegels are just, it's named after this OBGYN from way back when named Arnold Kegel. Much as I try, you know, to change my language around that, I just call them pelvic floor contractions now, but they are known as Kegels. And they're just overprescribed. Yeah. I mean, for every, your bladder is leaking, your bladder has pain, like do Kegels. And for most diagnoses, they should not be doing Kegels. They actually need to stop Kegels. They need to stop Pilates. Like if I pay some patients do Pilates,
I do Pilates all the time.
Well, if you, the activation when they're telling you in Pilates class, pull your navel to your spine, that also activates your pelvic floor. So if your pelvic floor is already overactive or like non-relaxing and tight, then you're going to just keep it in that overactive tight cycle. So not that Pilates isn't good. I mean, I'm a PT, but I'm also Pilates certified. It just has to be reintroduced at a later stage once your pelvic floor muscles are in a more rested position.
Hold on. What is a pelvic floor? Where is the pelvic floor?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. So Okay, the pelvic floor muscles are the muscles that are at the base of your pelvic organs. So they are supporting is one of their main functions. They're supporting your pelvic organs, your bladder, your rectum, your uterus, if you still have one or if you ever have one. So they're supporting those pelvic floor muscles and everybody. They go around your opening. So they go, you know, it's like what's forming around the anus, around the vaginal opening, around the urethra, so that it can help maintain continence, you know, on the bowel and bladder side. So it's like a hammock that also helps support, it supports, it maintains continence, and they also help with sexual function. So think of them just at the base of your pelvis, like a sling or a hammock supporting all those structures. And when we do a pelvic floor contraction, the proper way to do them is to contract from the back to the front. So feeling that contraction originate at the anus, and then feeling like it goes around the vagina, around the urethra, and then wraps up to your lower abdominal area.
Wow. Are there any ways to strengthen it? I think, and you know, if you buy her book, all Heather, if you're listening, if you're tuning in right now, you're listening to the Polish Woman Show with my special guest, Heather Jeffcoat. You have to buy her book because it teaches all the exercises, that the pelvic exercises, right?
For yes. Any, yeah. The, yeah. And I don't have patients do Kegel. There is a
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a, I'm not teaching Kegels. There is one exercise in there where a Kegel is used because it's a neuromuscular technique that basically states if you contract the muscle, as you let it go, it goes through a brief period of hyperrelaxation so that when you stretch after the contraction, you get a better stretch than if you stretch from like a resting baseline.
Oh,
it's definitely not like doing Kegels. Like that is a myth that needs to be dispelled. And also it's not just a like how to use your dilators, like it is like, but I use dilators in a very different way than a lot of therapists use them. A lot of therapists will just have you insert the dilator and hold it for 10 or 20 minutes. And that's just not very functional. So mine goes through a process of treating it like the muscles they are. So treating, like, how would I treat someone's neck in spasm? I'm taking those same principles and applying them to pelvic floor muscle rehabilitation.
See?
Yeah.
You don't even know that all this pain that you're getting from the back, because I'm always, you know, I told her I'm always tense and tight, and you already told me I'm actually going to see her. I'm very tight. And you know, you know, Heather, for people like me, there's a lot out there. Okay. Cause I always advise women, okay, have your, if you had like 3 or 4 children, have your, you know, your vagina tightened. Oh. And I was one of them. And I had women that I advise. The thing that happened to me, which luckily didn't happen to other women that I've advised to have their vagina tightened, is I think it was so tight. It was so tight that I didn't have sex for 6 months.
Oh, after the surgery.
After the surgery.
Well, and that's a complication after the surgery. Like you would have done better at that time once the tissue healed to go to pelvic PT.
But I had scar tissue, which you actually mentioned.
Well, and we do scar tissue work as well, whether it's pelvic floor or like after C-section or hysterectomy or tummy tucks, those big scars at the bottom.
Yeah.
So we can work through all of those.
Oh my gosh. Heather, I'm going to see you.
I've been hiding in Los Angeles since 2004. Yeah. I've been hiding.
What the heck? Where are you? Where have you been? Only a Polish woman that you will know the secret of this, the best kept secret. Oh my gosh. Okay. Now for women who are actually listening, because I told them we're going to talk about sex, right? Yeah. We have only 10 minutes. How can they have good sex? Like the people. Without pain, not only for women who have painful sex, but for women who thinks that they're gonna pee I'm one of those, actually, like while having sex, okay, in the middle of having sex, okay, I have to stop. It's annoying, right?
Yeah. Part of it could be those overactive pelvic floor muscles that are around the urethra and bladder. So those could be addressed so that you have less sensitivity to that during intercourse, because they could just, your partner could just be rubbing against those trigger points, and those trigger points in that area give you a feeling of urinary urgency. So that's one thing. Barring seeing like a pelvic PT, if those aren't accessible to you, better sex. One of the diagnoses that I will see a lot is what I call like a diminished orgasm. It's not really like it's not a bad orgasm. It's just not as intense. So I'll see women with decreased intensities of orgasm. They just notice they're not as good as they used to be. So if pain has been ruled out, then they, oftentimes will just need a pure strengthening program. So that's doing those pelvic floor contractions or those Kegels to improve their sexual function, because that's one of the purposes of the pelvic floor is to improve sexual function. So, so they might need something like that, something very basic, but if they have pain, they don't want to start doing Kegels, because usually pain is associated with short, tight muscles. So if you do a bunch of Kegels, then you'll just make the problem worse.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We have a Twitter question for the polished woman. How do we identify painful pleasure versus actual pain during sex?
Painful pleasure. Mm-hmm. Well, so this is what I always say. Divisions. Sex shouldn't hurt unless you want it to. So if it is not distressing to her, then that's not a problem. But if it is distressing and it's making you avoid intercourse.
What does distressing mean?
That it's causing you a reason to change your behavior. So maybe you're avoiding intercourse entirely, you're abstaining because of pain or fear of pain. Or you're like, okay, I'm done. Like you're trying to cut it short. Like, okay, all right. Like he got to where he needed to go, and you're just, all right, I'm done now. Right. So you're changing your behavior. So that would be the distress. But if it's not distressing to you, if you like a little bit of painful pleasure, like that's fine. I don't need to treat that. You're enjoying it. So it's only if there's like distress associated with it. Like you saying like, oh, I got to pee, like that's changing your behavior. You're like, all right, let's stop now. So those would be the things that you would want addressed. And, you should always see your urologist or your OBGYN or your urogynecologist, which are female pelvic medicine specialists, and make sure you don't have an infection. Like I don't treat infection. So, there are certain, make sure you don't have ovarian cancer. Like you said, your friends are like, oh my God, I have cancer. Like an ultrasound, maybe other tests that they do can rule that out. So it's once you've been ruled out for these medical problems and the doctors are like, I don't know, I don't see anything wrong, it's probably because it's something with the musculoskeletal system. Mm-hmm. And that's what we treat as pelvic floor PTs. So don't think that it's nothing wrong. It's just, there's nothing wrong that they can address. They are not muscle people. And unfortunately, the language that they've used a lot with their patients too, is they'll say like, well, nothing's wrong, go see a psychologist, which, it's like telling somebody with back pain to go see a psychologist. Yeah. Like, how's that going to help your back pain? Right. Yeah, so it's no different. You have to think of these as muscles, because they are. Pelvic floor muscles are muscles. They act the same way as the muscles in your back and your neck, and they need to be treated the same. We don't do psychotherapy to help with neck pain and back pain. We don't tell our patients to have a glass of wine, because that's what a lot of OBGYNs will tell their patients with painful sex. Oh, you're just too anxious. You just need a glass of wine. No. Absolutely. No. So like, it's like, right. Do we tell our patients with neck pain to just have a shot of tequila? Like, oh, your neck will be all better. Like, no, that's not acceptable. But it is very common for women with painful sex to be told to have a glass of wine. And it's disturbing and it's horrible medical advice. And it's not.
It's actually going to make you dry.
Yes, right? It's dehydrating. It'll make it worse. That is such a good point.
Oh, wait. So someone is asking, is this expensive? Like, is it affordable? I mean, is it insurance? I mean, can insurance pay for it? Or like, And yes. They want to go. They want to come.
I know. So I will say, I mean, I'm out of network, but my initial visits are 2 hours and my follow-ups are 55 minutes up to 90 minutes, like per session, depending on how complicated the patients are, how much they have going on. You know, if they have like jaw pain and back pain and pelvic floor overactivity, like they'll probably be coming for 90 minutes once and sometimes, you know, twice a week. Okay. I'm out of network. I don't take insurance. So your insurance will reimburse whatever your insurance reimburses for out of network. There are places that do this in network, but they're not going to spend 2 hours with you. They're not going to spend 60 to 90 minutes one-on-one with you. Not in California anyways, maybe other states, but I mean, reimbursement could be as low as like $45 for 2 hours that I would spend somebody. Like I can't, I can't even have like a secretary like for 2 hours for $45, you know, like it's insane. The reimbursement, because they don't see any difference of somebody that has like an acute ankle sprain, like they just sprain their ankle, versus somebody that has chronic pain and especially chronic pelvic pain. They pay the same for that therapy.
Yeah, another one. Hold on. We only have 4 minutes. Hold on. If someone is not from LA, how can they find you?
So if you just look up my name, and you could go to my Instagram handle at the Lady Parts PT and at the Lady Parts PT, and they can direct message me and we can set up a telehealth session. So I do online consulting, for patients worldwide. So that's one option. I mean, pre-COVID, I would have people flying to come see me. I mean, they would come in for a long weekend so that they could see me on like a Friday and a Monday and get tools that they could go fly home and do to help their pain. So,
oh my God, I'm going to definitely like see you. Oh, wait, another one. Okay. Oh, hold on. Another one. If women who are watching, what type of doctor should they ask for? And do you know?
And let me jump in. Jump in real quick because we have a Twitter question. Hi, Heather. Yeah. So the woman asks, if we're watching, we don't live in LA, what type of doctor should we ask for?
So you can for sure DM me and I can help connect you with someone in another state as well. There's also the pelvicpain.org has a database of all different types of doctors and physical therapists that specialize in chronic pelvic pain internationally also. And then there's also the American Physical Therapy Association's Pelvic Health Academy. They also have a database that you can search, but everyone has different levels of expertise. So you would have to call them and make sure that they are proficient with your specific symptoms. The president-elect for next year for that.
Wow. Congratulations, Heather. I'm going to have to see you. Okay. Last question. When do a woman have to see you? When do they know that, okay, I need to go and see Heather?
Yep. So your doctors have told you nothing's wrong and you know there's something wrong.
Yes.
Anybody that's ever had a baby, whether or not you have symptoms or not, your pelvic floor went through a marathon, like even just carrying that baby, you know, there's always some degree of dysfunction there. So I think every woman that's had a baby should have at least 3 postpartum visits so that they can get their individual questions, answered, whether it's like pelvic floor related or baby care, body mechanics related. Every woman should see a pelvic PT for 3 visits. Really, it's those women that I see most have been gaslit by their providers and they've been made to feel that nothing's wrong. And you know that something's wrong and you need to just have the intuition and you need to advocate for yourself to get the care you deserve.
All right. Thank you so much, Heather. And we have to invite you again. I feel like it's too short for you. If I'm going to post again tomorrow on my Instagram, The Polished Woman, we're going to, you know, if you want to listen, if you missed this, you can go to all the podcast station. And where can they find you, Heather? Please, one last time.
I am feminapt.com or on Instagram at the Lady Parts PT. And so you can find me through both of those. There's a contact form, all the diagnoses that we treat are on there.
Okay.
And my book is also all over, including Amazon. So I'll give you the notes on that.
There's a book, Sex Without Pain. Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. I need to have you back again. Thank you
so much.
Sounds good. Bye. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Remember that your health and well-being is a priority and that if you don't treat it, the way that no one, and the, if you won't treat it, nobody else will. Okay, so if you have this problem, go and see Heather Jeffcoat. Okay, so don't forget, yeah, reach out to her. Don't forget. Reach out to the Polish Woman. I'm going to post tomorrow again about her, and we're going to have her back on our show. And yes, so don't forget to give love to the next person that you see or that you see after watching or listening to our show. Remember, we love because God loves us first. I love you. Bye.
Through faith.